Christmas. So I've been kind of talking about uncertain things throughout the summer, uncertain series, but I'm almost doing little caveats. For the last 3 weeks, I did something called Pray Now. And for the next week and this one next as well, I want to do a couple messages under that. I'm just going to call it the distance factor. And we're going to lay it out today, beginning, and next week we'll give some practical suggestions about what to do about that distance that we feel. So would you agree with me that there is right now an epidemic of isolation and loneliness in our culture? At least nod out there, okay? Some of you are nodding already, but I know you're sleeping, so could you be a little more vigorous than that? I'm glad some of you, as I worked the crowd, yawned before I got up here. You know, you got them out of your system. But experts believe that this loneliness and isolation is literally unprecedented. And many feel like they're isolated from people, but also many feel like they're isolated from God. Because I believe that down deep, there's that God-shaped void, as somebody has written, they're longing, they're aching for relationships, but there seems to be a divine distance many times. So we'll call that, for this couple of weeks, the distance factor. I have heard this oft times recently, and I try not to use hip phrases a lot, you know, that everybody uses. I'm not sure where they originate, but I'm hearing all the time still. By the time I talk about it, some of the teens are there going, oh, brother, that was 2 months ago. You know what I'm saying? But I hear this. I'm not feeling it. I can remember inviting a guy some time ago to something, a men's gathering, and he goes, I'm just not feeling it. And I go, well, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say it. I probably should have. You may not be feeling it, but you sure are needing it. You know what I'm saying? So the issue of this message today isn't whether or not we're feeling it. It's more about whether we're needing it or not. So I want to believe, Pastor, but I don't really necessarily feel anything. The importance, the significance, the emphasis on feelings seems to be at an all-time high. And I wonder if you have experienced that or if you sensed that as well. Most of us have experienced times when we're in the middle of a season and it feels like divine absence, not divine presence. And I'm not sure why. We'll talk about some of those things next week, Lord willing, but this seems to follow sometimes maybe a buildup of great expectations that aren't delivered and your feelings aren't what you would hope they'd be, especially along the spiritual journey. Did you get that? Not a one and done, but what's disillusioning when we don't feel it along the spiritual journey. In other words, sustain. Maybe you've been disappointed before in a spiritual thing. I can remember back when I was ordained, that was in the late 80s. I know you were expecting Hillary at the time, right? Am I correct there? So that must have been about 83, 85, about 87-ish. Did I get that right? Or 86-ish? Yeah, you got to check these things. Otherwise, it's going to be a long ride home and a very quiet meal around the table. But I remember it was a big deal. I had prepared and I'd served in the position. My senior pastor, I'd been with him a number of years. This was in Indianapolis by then. And it was supposed to be a sacred, solemn occasion, and I was really looking forward to it. And so at an ordination like the one Sheldon just went through, they usually have all the pastors on the district, ordained people up on the platform, and they usually sing and whatever and gather around in prayer. Well, there I was trying to be, I was just into this. And my pastor, I won't name him. You know who you are if you're listening. I'm sure he's not. But he was on the platform, got sick. I mean, like, deathly ill, pale as a ghost. So he thought prayer would be a good time to sneak off the stage. So he got sick, got up, moved off the platform, walked around to the right. We were in a big tabernacle with a cement floor, and he knocked over a whole row of metal chairs on a cement floor in an echo chamber. That was so disappointing. I mean, it just ruined my ordination. That's the most significant. I don't remember the message, but I remember my pastor, my senior pastor, knocking over the chairs. Isn't that sad? Sometimes we're disappointed because we hang so much on an event. Well, here's what I want to ask you just to think about, not to answer out loud, but to roll around. What do you do when you truly long to sense or feel God, the divine presence, but you only feel distance? What are some things you could do? And we're going to talk about that more. So I want to say it again about this feeling thing. Just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean you're not needing it. More to come. More to come. Conversely, has there ever been a time when you sense, whether you could explain it or not, where you've really sense the presence of the Lord. For some of you, that could have been a time this morning or the last week or your private life through the week, your private times with the Lord, whatever it could be. But has there ever been a time when you've really keenly sensed an awareness of God's presence, His love just overwhelmed with it? I mean, you absolutely knew, as Sheldon prayed, you knew He was there with you. And you can relate to what David wrote. And I'm going to read this passage now, and I'm going to hit it again at the end, just a verse or two. But in Psalm 16, 8 through 9, it says this. I love this. Listen to this. I circled this. I know. Did you catch that? Could you please say, I know?
I know.
Yeah. The emphasis in it isn't on the I, but I know the Lord is always with me. When? Does that mean right now? Does that mean in the seasons of ups and downs? Because of that, he goes on, I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. And then in verse 11 of the same chapter, you will show me the way of life. That's what people are longing for, whether they know it or not. Granting me the joy of your presence. Where does joy come from? From a sense of his, an awareness of his presence, and the pleasures of living forever with you. We can live forever with him because it just said in the previous verse, I know the Lord is always with me. Can anybody testify and say, yes, I'm experiencing that right now. It's true. He is with me. I have fond memories of growing up, largely. My father was a pastor for many years. My two brothers, my dad's in heaven. My two brothers are retired. But I was in church a lot, all the time. But I have fond memories. Sundays always just felt different and special in particular. But I would remember that, and I longed for as a kid, that for a sense of the Lord's presence. And the Lord's presence would show up. The Holy Spirit would show up on a regular Sunday morning worship. And things would change from what was planned typically. And my mother would be over here on the organ or the piano playing. And she might start singing and playing a medley of appropriate songs for the times. And many of the saints, the holy ones, would stand up and begin to testify with tears running down their faces. And I could name them for you. And I could tell you where they sit. Eddie Starcher was here, Tom McCuster was here, Larry Burrell was here, Carl Noby was back there, and the list goes on. And they would testify of their current faith, not to something long ago, but present and active. And the altars that we still have were lined. I mean, it didn't say, hey, you all come to the altar. People were just drawn to pray, to find Christ in relationship, to dedicate their life to him, or to lay something before the Lord. And best of all, as I mentioned from time to time, my dad would decide not to preach. Don't you wish I would do that more often? I loved it as a kid, but you know what I remember vividly? That time seemed to stand still, and I didn't want to leave. This is from my earliest memories as a child, up through my teen years, honestly. In fact, believe it or not, it wasn't unusual after Sunday dinner, because we lived right there by the Nazarene Parsonage, by the church, and it was close. And I would sometimes go back to the church worship center by myself, and I would play, and I would sing. Because there just seemed to be a lingering, sweet presence that I still can sense and remember. It's hard for us. Some of you are relating, some of you aren't. But it's hard to put into words and express the reality of sensing God's presence. How did I know it was God? I can't map it out. I just knew. How could I be certain that it was God? And why is it that sometimes I sensed his presence, but not all the time, and other times I didn't? I wonder, do you ever, maybe on a morning worship, if you're just not feeling it, I wonder where the responsibility lies, and I'm just asking. So I ask of myself, was I not tuned in and paying attention? Was I on my cell phone? Some conviction going on right now. Just kidding, I don't know who you are, you do. Did I do something wrong? Were there some interfering distractions, whatever it could have been? Or was that, oh, here's a biggie. Or was it the absence of my favorite song? Because if they just sing my favorite song or two, I could feel it. Or maybe I wonder if many times I had low expectations or wrong expectations. And sometimes I've wondered through my life, am I not as spiritual as some who seem to just live in the feelings mode? I still don't believe for a second that'll sustain you lifelong through your spiritual journey. So that lonely feeling, a lot of songs, secular songs about being lonely, a lot of songs I used to sing growing up about loneliness, but I think of Psalms, again, we return to David and the writers in Psalm 88, 13. Here's what he says. Listen, can anybody relate to this? Maybe right now, maybe online where you are. This is for you today. Oh, Lord. I'm not sure. Oh, Lord. It may be a groan. Oh, Lord. I cry out to you. And I'm thinking as I read some of these, I think these are meant to be out loud. I will keep on pleading day by day. Oh, Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? This was divinely penned by one of the heroes of God's word, and that would be David. And he was referred to, for example, in Acts 13, but other times as well, as a man after God's own heart. Yet he wrote in Psalm 13:1, oh, Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? And then in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. I would say that many of us can relate to David. His feelings were real, and they weren't necessarily a reflection of reality or the truth, but that's how he felt. And it's interesting that in most of these, when you read on, that he ends up on an upsurge, a confident upsurge anyway, regardless of his feelings. But these examples are here to let us all know that David, hero that he was, had these temporary, circumstantial-based feelings. Have any of you ever had circumstantially-based feelings? That's why humanly, sometimes, we're not feeling it. Those Psalms, can you imagine just saying to Nate and Sarah and the team this way, okay, next Sunday when we gather, I want you to get some serious uplifting songs from Psalm 13:1 and Psalm 22. I mean, it'd be like Eeyore songs about, it'd be like a dirge, wouldn't it? Oh, why have you forsaken me? Oh, you're long gone. You don't care about me. You look away from me. I may give them that assignment to come up with a song. If you've ever felt divine distance, that's what I'm trying to say. You're not alone, because no matter how spiritual we are, we never get over being human. How many of you know that's true? And we'll not be fully perfected until we get to heaven. And because of that, we're in good human company. So as I've read, David could relate to you and to your circumstances. But another example that's even better than David is this, and that would be Jesus. No one was closer to the Father than Jesus. In fact, in John 10:30, he said in red, the Father and I are one. How can you get any closer than one? His mission was on earth, fully God, fully man, was to glorify the Father at all times. He was obedient, the Bible tells us, unto death, even death on a cross. He was mocked and tortured and crucified, and he became sin. He took our sin on himself. And when he did, at the most difficult time in his life, the Father looked away. Wow. And that's when, precisely when, Jesus called out in a loud voice in Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you abandoned me? Echoing the words of the psalmist years ago. My Father and I are one. My God, why have you abandoned me? Well, I want to tell you, whatever your feelings of abandonment are, it's not permanent. It's not permanent. Listen to Hebrews 4:15 on the upswing. This high priest, our go-between, the one who represents us before the Father, Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Is anybody glad he understands? You don't need fixed all the time, but it's so helpful if you know somebody's understanding you, if they listen to you, if they hear your heart cry. For he faced all the same testings we do. Fully God, fully man, lonely, the Father turned away. Yet in all that, he did not sin. He did not turn his back on the Father. Jesus knows. That's what that scripture says to me. Jesus knows. He was passionate when he cried out loud, Why have you abandoned me? I want to assure you today, within the sound of my voice, that no matter where you've been, no matter where you are, no matter what you feel, Jesus understands. Jesus understands. Jesus cares. He loves you. I grew up singing songs like "No One Understands Like Jesus." And does Jesus care? Oh, I can almost remember the page numbers, 465 and 456 in the old hymnal and 460 in the old hymnal. Does Jesus care? Dixie, I don't know if you remember one time at Coshocton, Jay and Amy Rouse were there. They were longtime Gaitherites and sang with them, but I can still hear her beautiful voice, Amy Rouse, beginning to sing, "Does Jesus care?" And it was a time when there had been a lot of stuff going on, and this chorus was saying, "Oh, yes, he cares." The answer. The verses pose the question, but the chorus comes back, "Oh, yes, he cares. I know." I can't, would you circle those words on the flyleaf of your mind today? I read that in the first scripture. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near as Jesus. So cast your every care on him. Why would we do that? Because he's been there. He's been tested. He knows exactly. He understands how we feel humanly. He understands. Powerful, powerful truths. No one understands like Jesus. And the more we get to know him in relationship, and some of you are struggling today because you don't have a relationship with him. You've never opened your heart and said, "Yes, Jesus." You know about him. You know the story. You know that he died on the cross for our sins, but you've never received him in relationship. Therefore, you don't trust him. But to know him is to love him. To know him is to trust him. I talk about this often, but I want to come back and say this again, that feelings are fickle. Do you know what fickle means? I guess changeable. When I said that phrase this morning, I thought of, I'm going to invent a new sport. I'm going to call it fickleball. It kind of resembles, our emotions kind of resemble pickleball because, you know, the ball just flies in every direction, up, down, high, low, all those kind of things. Our feelings are fickle, and some of you are riding those today, and it's not a good ride. It's not a good ride. Sometimes I don't know what to talk about and what not to, but after all these years, I just say, I'm just going to let it all hang out. I'll just tell you what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. But a lot of the love songs that we grew up on are about feelings. In fact, we're going to have a Sunday morning of prayers, praise and worship and prayer coming on the first Sunday of September, which is Labor Day Sunday, or 31st, I guess that'd be, because the first is a Monday, Labor Day. But in thinking about it, you know, one of the things that I want to really do that day is just have a Godward focus, because something happens when we focus totally on him. And even our worship songs, and they're good sometimes, it focuses a lot more on how we feel than who God is. I don't know about you, but when I get a glimpse and a hold on who God is, it helps me feel a lot better. How about you? But I've told Nate and Sarah, that day, I'd want the songs to point Godward. I want us to exalt him, to praise him. We said don't stop praying, but also remember, don't stop praising. I was remembering a story. We had friends who took us to a Barry Manilow concert, and that was 13 years ago, and it was at Blossom Music Center. Has anybody ever been to Blossom Music Center? Raise your hand. I hope you didn't sit on the lawn where all that sinning was going on. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, when you hear Barry Manilow, but, I mean, I like music. We were just a few rows back off the main stage. He was 69 years old, so now I had Dixie Google it. He's like, he'll be 82 or something like that. I think he's on his last tour. The band was phenomenal, but his songs were about the feelings, you remember? Trying to get the feeling again. Can anybody remember any of the words? I've been up, down, all around, trying to get the feeling again, trying to get that feeling. And then he has another one that's called The Weekend in New England. Has anybody ever heard that one? Come on, I know this is church. Has anybody ever heard Barry's song, Weekend in New England? Does anybody know who Barry Manilow is? He's still, he's not a was, he still is. But in that place, alcohol was flowing, and we were here, and there a row or two right in front of us, there were some ladies that were probably, I would say, older, but that would put them in my age range, or maybe a little. I'm sure they were over 70, but they had had too much to drink, and so he started singing. I jotted down the words. When will our eyes meet? When can I touch you? So right now, those ladies were standing up with their alcohol lift high. They go, right now, Barry, right now, right now. I was so embarrassed for them. I feel brave and daring. I feel my blood flow. I mean, these songs are about feeling. And whatever we think about that, I'm telling you, when it comes to our spiritual life, we cannot base our faith on our feelings, or we're going to be in the deep weeds in a hurry. And we're just going to be lost in the weeds. I'm not lost. I haven't lost page 2. I'm editing. When I was at Ashland Seminary, it was called a Pastors of Excellence cohort for several years, we were asked during the time to do some exercise, lonely walks by ourselves. And by the way, and it just happened to be in the worst weather possible, freezing cold, raining, whatever it happened. And we were given the assignment of finding symbols and also to write laments. And I faithfully participated, but I wasn't always feeling it, but I did it anyway. And many others were diving deep, and some experienced deep, deep emotions and feelings, and some didn't. And I wondered, were some of these other pastors in the cohort more spiritual than I was? Because I wasn't getting it. Maybe your heart could echo this prayer today, something like this. Dear Father, dear God, I just really want to see you, to feel you, to experience something from you. I just feel like I need that. I need to know you're there. I need to know you're real. I have questions. I wonder. I need your help in navigating some serious life-changing decisions that are looming directly in front of me or down the road. I need to know your peace in my present circumstance. I feel lonely and desperately want to know that you're with me. Contrast that to the opening scripture, I know. Could you write this on your mind and heart? Relationally speaking, everything does not rise and fall on feelings. Huh? How many of you have been in a relationship for a long time and you know exactly what we're talking about today? God's always there. He always loves us. He's unchanging. He's always working for his glory and our good, as we often say. Still, we might ask in a season, why don't I feel him? You're not alone. You're not alone. I wonder if we could say with David, in all season, because we need a faith that's all season. How do we know that's true? It can't come and go. It's not just the fifth season of the year, which around Worcester Naz is the blessing season, Thanksgiving through New Year's. That's great, but all through the year. I may not enjoy this circumstance, and I may not be feeling at my spiritual high, but I absolutely know that he's there, because he's where? He's in my heart. He lives in me. He dwells. He lives in my heart, in my life. Remember, I asked you at the beginning of last week, in the words of Bruce formerly from Alpha, and he said, do you believe the Bible's real? And everybody in the room, you know, he had to prompt a little bit, but I tried to get you guys to respond in church. Do you know the Bible's real? And finally, the whole room said, yes, yes, yes. And then he keyed in on a promise and said, if that's true, do you believe this promise? And the bottom line, if you don't, then if you believe the Bible's true, how can you pick and choose? Does that make sense to you? So do you believe the Bible's true? When you know him, you trust his nature, his character, his word. Do you believe this promise? Can you in your heart settle it and say, I know with David that the Lord is always with me? Is that true or isn't it? I we know humanly what it's like to be in a relationship, and sometimes in a really strong, close relationship, there's total silence, or you may be in the car in silence, or you may be there in the house, and you can sense they're there, and there's a communication that goes on because of all the time you spent together. You know, I think about this, and I'm not ripping on anybody, but one of our favorite prayer throwaway lines is, I pray that you'd be with me. I pray that you'd be with me. I pray that you'd be with my loved ones. Well, in Christ, he is with us. Could we acknowledge that? Do you see what I'm saying? So maybe instead of saying, would you be with him? Be with him. Be with him. Say, thank you for being with me, because your word says you are always with us. So therefore, I can say, not by my feelings, but by faith, I know that you are with me always. That means right now. Can anybody say, right now, he is with me? No matter what your circumstance may be, right here, right now, that is always the case. And if we're in the family of God and he's always with us, that's a wake-up call, because his eyes are always on us, and that's not bad, that's good, because he sees and he knows. How many of us know we need accountability? We need God's eyes on us all the time. I do. Do you? That's called accountability. Not with a big stick, but his presence is comforting. So I don't know if I've asked you this before, but I want you to wrestle with this week. If we always felt God, whenever we felt in the emotional side, would we really need to have faith? When do you need to have more faith? I need it more when I'm not feeling it. And that gets back to my saying that as far as I know, I've originated over the years, that I always say, when it comes to my spiritual life, I have to go with my want to far more than I feel like it, because a lot of times I don't feel like it, but I always want to, because I always know that God is with me because he's in me. Does that make sense? Some of you are still, you got a furrowed brow. You thought your want and your feelings are the same. No, they're not. No. I want to be a worshiper. I want, but I'm not always going to feel it. So I go back to the reality, the promise of his word that David, we just read from David, that his word says he is always with us. Could I read that again? Slowly. I know. For some of us, we need to settle it. For some of you, that begins with a personal relationship with Jesus, where you open your heart saying, I know about him, but I'm going to come into a relationship by opening my heart and say, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I'm living with my back to the past of sin. I'm turning toward you. I give my life to you. I give you my sin, but I also surrender myself to you. Then we can say, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken. That doesn't mean the wind's not going to blow. The troubles aren't going to come. But we know, as he goes on, I'll say it again, for he is right beside me. He is with me. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in a tough situation? Maybe it's in a hospital recovering or something. And it's nearly always better when you have somebody with you. Agreed? Somebody with you. He is right here beside me. When? Always. When? Always. No wonder my heart is so glad. In any circumstance, I rejoice. I can have joy, and my body can rest in safety. Everything may not be fine, but I'm in good hands. My life is in his hands. And so I want to ask you, as the musicians come, or Nate comes, whoever it may be, it's crunch time. Have you ever settled it? We choose by faith to trust God, to take him at his word, representing his name and character. I choose to accept and believe all of his word. I'm not going to parcel it out. I'm not going to dive into God's word and pull out the parts I like. I'm going to get his word in me constantly. I'm going to let that bring life. I know the Lord's always with me. And I hope, even in a practical way, that when you pray this week, that you'll, instead of saying, asking the Lord to be with you, you'll say, your word is true, so I can face this trip, I can face this trial with confidence, because your word says, and your word is true, you are always with me. Look at me. Is that true or not? Is it true or not? Is it always true or sometimes true? Always. The Father may have looked away when Jesus was bearing our sin. He wasn't looking away from Jesus, but bearing, because his holiness and our sin. But he wasn't absent. I don't know if anybody has recorded, scholars said, how long that look away lasted. But somebody needs to hear it today. Your takeaway is this: He is always with me. Start thanking Him. What's that line from Cece, one of her songs lately? I don't have to wait till the battle's over. I can shout now. Is that a line? Don't you love that? In other words, you thank Him ahead. You praise Him ahead of time, no matter what the circumstance may be. I know. Can you say with confidence with David, if you're a child of God, I'm a child of God. I know the Lord's with me. Hey. How could He be in you and not with you? Impossible. If He's in you, He's with you. But I want to ask you again, is He in you? Because He only comes by invitation. He's knocking, but you have to open the door and invite Him in. Have you done that? Next week, Lord willing, we'll get into some practical things for followers, why some things may be more difficult for us to really sense His presence at times. There's no one answer for all, but He's here today, and He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's here. Acknowledge Him, praise Him, thank Him, talk to Him, listen to Him. Could I leave you with this thought, bridging to next Sunday? Maybe, when it comes to this distance factor, just maybe, it's not so much that God's absent, maybe we are. Huh? It's not so much that God's moved away, it's just that we've moved away from Him. Could it be? We love to sing songs about His closeness, nearness. Sheldon, you prayed into my message this morning, knowing it or not, His nearness, that's what He longs for. So the invitation today is, no matter how you feel, could you just do this, palms up, and just cast all of your cares on Him, because He understands and He cares for you. If sin is in your life that's unconfessed and therefore unforgiven, you can go that route, palms up. You can say, Lord, I surrender my sin to You today, because that creates distance. We'll talk about some of those things later, but whatever it may be. I'm going to invite you to stand quietly if you can, if you care to. I'm going to pray. Nate's going to sing it or play something. But the altars are always open again. And this is not a message of condemnation. This is just a message of opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to confess Christ publicly in your heart, but publicly to say, I want to come into that relationship where I know He is always with me and never have a doubt. Or you just may settle it. You feel like you've been in a tug of war and you're stretched out, but today you can settle it and just say, I am choosing to believe by faith. I know. By faith in who God is and by the truth of His word, I know that God is always with me right now. If you've been in relationship with Him, but there's a distance. And you know, it's interesting, Aubrey and Sheldon, that summers were always a great time as a youth pastor where teens drew closer to the Lord. But I've seen for adults, especially now with all the coming and going, that it's a drifting time. Summers, many times, where it's like we kind of put God on hold and yeah, not really, but kind of, and we just kind of do our own thing. Let's come back to the heart of worship today. Father, thank You for Your faithful word. I thank You for the authenticity of the Bible, that we can embrace it all. We can embrace the feelings and all the thoughts of David when he felt close to You, when he felt distant from You, but he always knew who to come to. He always came to You. He always pursued You no matter what life situation he was in. And he wasn't a perfect man, and we're not perfect people. But I thank You for Your invitation to come to You just as we are. We reject the accusation that we've gone too far, done too much. I don't care if it was last week, last month, last night. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Your love is pursuing us still. And may we say yes to You. I pray for those that have tender hearts, but they've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus. Never said, yes, I want heaven to be my eternal home. What's that about? That's for being always with You where you are. So today I want to make that stand, and I want to testify, Jesus in me, always with me. So we just stand, sit, kneel in the posture of surrender today. Say yes, yes, yes. By faith, not by feeling. We proclaim that your word is true by faith, because we believe that your word from cover to cover is inspired, divinely inspired, inerrant, the word of God that always stands forever.